Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edward and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. For today's show, we'll be talking about a subject that a listener suggested, that is keeping it simple. And actually, that's what had happened last week. I'm the one that suggested this topic, so I'll take all the credit. So, anyhow, let me introduce my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm fabulous, thank you. And how are you, David?
I'm doing well. I've been looking forward to the show, and it rolled around quicker than I thought it would. It's been quite a nice day for me, and this is always a nice way here on the East Coast of the United States to end the day. So, thank you for asking. And what's new in your world, Kat?
Well, as of 5 p.m. tonight, Brisbane here in Queensland, Australia, is going into 3 days lockdown in the lead up to the Christmas, the Easter long weekend. So that means crazy times, people panic buying, toilet paper going out of stock, you know, the drill. It's all happened some people in the community got some COVID, and one joker decided that while his test was being processed, he'd have a party at his house. Of course, his test came back positive, so now the whole city has to pay.
I remember what it was like looking for toilet paper a year ago at this time. It could not be found. And I ordered some from Amazon that was fairly expensive, and it came from China. And do you know, when I got it, the rolls were about 3 inches in diameter. It was ridiculous. I don't know how they could even call it toilet paper, but that's my toilet paper story related to COVID.
It's frustration to the highest order. And we understand why the Department of Health has done it, but they are apologetic because they know how much disruption it causes to people's lives, and no one wants to die of the COVID. So we have to go through it, but it doesn't mean that we're happy about it.
Right, right. Well, we do have one caller on the line so far tonight. We have Eleanor, who's blessed us with her sharing on a number of occasions. And if there's anybody else that is listening that wants to participate in tonight's discussion, please press 1. And Kat, we're talking about keeping it simple. What does that mean to you?
I mean, paring it back to the basics, doesn't it? It means not doing things that complicate your life, for starters, and wherever you can, uncomplicate your life so that you can have a streamlined experience. And when you're going through that decomplication process, there may be issues that arise or things that you have to remove from your life, like decluttering, which we've done a show on. I think we did a show on decluttering last year. And, you know, it's impossible to go through life without ending up with some kind of complication. I think that you can take it to the extreme, become a minimalist. But somewhere in the middle, with a comfortable amount of belongings and a comfortable experience in life as far as your relationships go, and how you operate is the way to go. Because, you know, if you start having affairs, for example, you're complicating your life. If you start going into manipulating other people for your own gain, you're complicating your life. If you start buying lots of products and, say, you chock-a-block your house with lots of belongings, you're complicating your life. So it's about finding that happy medium and then streamlining it, you know, so that you have a easy-to-manage life. I think that's what it means to me. What does it mean to you?
Well, it means a lot of those things that you just mentioned. It also has a lot to do with decluttering my mind. It is really easy for me to get off track and get out of the present moment at times. And when I do that, then I am really in a state of flux. I really need to take baby steps to move forward from where I'm at instead of being stuck in the past or projecting into the future. If I have a complicated situation, I need to take a deep breath. I need to figure out what I can do to declutter, as you put it, and I like that term very much. So it really is something that I need to just kind of do things like smile. I mentioned taking deep breaths, recognize that I can start over at any point in time. If I've had a stressful day or complicated day and I take a deep breath and just try to stay in the moment and figure out what it is that I need to do next instead of concentrating on a million different things. Those are some ways that I have to take a look at, or that I look at the idea of keep simple.
Yes, absolutely. And it's that overthinking factor that can really wear on you and end up complicating things. When we make things too complex, other people don't understand, then you have miscommunication. And if you're doing that in the workplace, you're not going to be able to advance forward in your career or in your business. So less is more is what they say. You know, when you look at fashionistas and that, they always say, put on all your jewelry and look in the mirror and take two pieces off. Less is more. And that's what we need to look at when we're keeping it simple. It's a practicality. You know, they've got that acronym KISS, Keep It Simple, Stupid. Have you heard of that?
I know that. And when I went to rehab, my therapist reframed KISS to Keep It Simple, Sweetheart. I thought, well, you know, that feels a little bit better. But we do stupid things when we clutter up our lives because it makes us feel crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for being a human brand.
Yeah. I don't know why that seems to be part of the human condition for a lot of people. It certainly has been the case for me. And, you know, I've had to go back to the get-go and, you know, on a purely physical level, it's meant letting go of things in my house. You were talking about people that do compulsive buying as an example of not simplifying your life and trying to cut that out. But there's the end result of having done that. I've got a closet full of presents, which will keep me supplied for the next 10 years because I became the eBay queen a few years back when I was having some mental health problems. It was a way that I medicated. And I think for a lot of people that when they do complicate their lives, they're looking at ways to, I mean, this is my opinion, and I'll be interested in what you have to say, Kat, but I think that they're looking at ways to cover up other things that they don't want to take a look at. And, of course, carried to an extreme, it can result in hoarding behaviors. So I think it's really important for us to take a look at what's going on in our lives when we start to complicate things. And it certainly only serves to stress a person out.
Yes, exactly. Overthinking, I think, is what you're alluding to, is it?
Well, that's one of those things, yes.
Can you ask me the question again? Sorry, keeping it simple.
No, that's all right. I went off on a tangent. I guess the question had to do with people using ways to complicate their lives, such as compulsive spending, as a means of medicating themselves and not looking at what's really going on in their lives at the time.
Yes, and you can get into all sorts of problems when you start to go to extremes. And, you know, financial problems are kind of really bad. And if you're doing a lot of spending or you're looking to objects to make you happy instead of dealing with the issue that you've got at hand, the issue at hand, the emotional, mental, spiritual issue or physical issue that you've got at hand seems more complicated than going out and buying a new TV or buying a nice dress or a nice pair of slacks. But the fact is that you'll actually de-simplify your life further if you deal with the issue rather than putting yourself in credit card debt or spending some savings money to go and buy something that only gives you a snapshot, a moment in time of relief. You've still got the issue. That's the thing, isn't it? So at some point, you've got to turn around and deal with that issue. Otherwise, it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I know of a few people who've done this. They've not dealt with their issues. I've been friends with them. I've said, hey, that issue there, that needs dealt with. 5 years go by. They've bought things. The house looks fantastic. The issue's still there. It's festering away like a cancer in their lives until it gets to a point where all they experience is drama. And then true friends have to step away because true friends start getting hurt and can't be around people like that. And that's what's happened on two occasions with two different people in my life. I've been their true friend. I've offered them help. I've shown them where to get help. I've pointed out that this situation has to be resolved. It's been ignored. They've gone into shopping both times. Both these people went shopping, and both times they ended up in a spiraling situation where of weekly drama, which then cost them their friendship with me. And that is unfortunate. And just for those who are listening, I'm not talking about David. I'm talking about people in my past. And so what happened there was those two people continued to complicate their life further on top of the issue that they were not dealing with. And that's really bad, you know. That can put you in all sorts of problems. And sometimes it puts people in jail. You've really got to sort your stuff out at that. When you start getting the warning signs, and your true friends are going, hey, you need to do something here. Do yourself a favor and listen to them rather than ignoring them and going and buying another shirt or adopting a puppy or, you know, doing something that distracts you from it but doesn't deal with it.
Well, you know, when you were talking about friends, I was thinking along another line, and that was how a lot of people collect people. And today, I can count on less than both of my hands' fingers the number of true friends that I had. And at one point in my life, I had dozens of so-called friends, and it involved the process of discernment. Number one, how can I possibly spread myself so thin over so many people, and how can they feel validated enough by me to be a true friend to me? It's a two-way street. I really find that having a small base of friends is much more valuable than having a lot of friends. And so that's one way I've simplified my life. And actually, as it's turned out, most of my friends today I've met within the last 20 years. And, that's the last third of my lifetime, I should say, for people that don't have any idea how old I am. Because 20 years can be a long time for some people, and it is a long time. But the point is that friends that I had in my earlier years are not present anymore, and I really value and cherish the friendships that I have today. And I'm also grateful to see that we've had some more callers come on the line tonight, and we will touch base with you to see if there's anything you'd like to add to the show. And if you just want to continue to listen, that's fine, too. And when I said that, we lost one of our callers. it's perfectly okay to just listen, and we are grateful to have you with us tonight. So I've gone off on a tangent, Kat. Can you help me steer back to the subject at hand?
Yeah. So you were talking about friends. And so you've simplified your social circle as well. And, what they say about friends, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Now, we're
right.
All here to learn and grow, and there's different players in the story. If you imagine your life as a Shakespearean play and you're the star, there's a lot of different players in the story of your life, and many who have passed you by in the street as strangers, many who have had one or two word interactions, many who've had only a day or a week, month or a couple of years, and several who have kept with you along the path until their time had finished, and only a couple will see you to the end. And that's fine, you know. It's a long time ago, I used to look at people who were popular and be envious because they got to do things, they got to go out, they got to have fun, they seemed to have a better life than me. Because I was introverted and I was a deep thinker and I didn't have social skills, and I know I was probably a bit weird. I used to look at people who were popular. I didn't look at them with anger or meanness or jealousy. Just I didn't understand how they could be and I couldn't, because I wasn't actually being mean or horrible to anyone. And I didn't understand the whole popularity chemistry thing. But then when I look back now, I see how much stuff they went through, how many issues they had, how much problems they had, because they had lots and lots of people constantly in their lives. And they had good things, but they also had a lot to deal with. It forced them to grow a lot. And some of them didn't make a big success that seemed like they would at school. So, friends, having lots and lots of friends, having lots of people, people are great, but they can complicate your life. And so when you have only a small group of people that you can count on, that you know are true to you, then, that's worth more in gold. And you're a far more popular person in that group than you would be in a convolute group of, say, 30 or 40. But simplicity, makes the journey of this life better. And that's what we're trying to say. Guy Berryman here is, I've got a quote here, just keep it simple. When you overthink what you're wearing, that's when wardrobe malfunctions tend to happen. And we could all remember the most famous one there with Janet Jackson. It's a special kind of wardrobe malfunction. Sorry if I gave anyone a memory of her breast there, but Einstein, make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler. And when you look at engineering is a great fine example of having to keep it simple. Because you've got guys coming in behind you who've got to learn the system that you've created. If you're the engineer of origin, you're creating some sort of machinery, you're not just creating it for you, you're creating it for humanity. It can't be too complex, because if it is, then the guys who come in behind you could stuff up. And if it's something that's, you know, say it's a rotor for a big heavy earth moving equipment or a machine or something like that, if people's lives are in danger, if it's not cared for and built properly and thought about. So it has to be complex in the machine itself, but the sum of its parts have to be kept simple so that somebody can come in and go, oh yeah, do this, that and something else, and then I put it together, and when I pull it apart, maybe you have to do things to it. Say if you were to pull it apart to clean it, that might be a little bit more complicated or fiddly. But when you put it, the whole thing together, it's got to be kept simple. Walt Whitman says, simplicity is the glory of expression. And I'll give you another quote before I hand it over to you. Let's see. Trying to look for somebody. Here's a famous author, Dean Koontz. Stay low, stay quiet, keep it simple. Don't expect too much. Enjoy what you have. I love that one.
That's beautiful. Well, you know, that makes me think in terms of how important it is to consider your value system and those things that mean the most to you, and then jive with that. There's one gentleman that I was reading about who talked about the most important things to him. This is just an example, were faith, health, and family. Now, I mean, without your health, you really have nothing. And so that, to me, speaks of the importance of taking care of yourself. And, I mean, to me, family and friends are up there at the top of the list. I think, you know, keeping an optimistic outlook is so important to me. And whatever I can do to nurture that is a paramount concern to me. But, you know, I really, for me, I learned this concept back when I was in early recovery from addiction. And I led such a fragmented life. I would appear a certain way to somebody else who had no idea that I was involved in addictive behaviors, and they didn't have a clue, because I just kept that part of my life private and secretive, I guess is the better term to use. But I had to learn that it was important for me to unravel who David was, and to get honest with myself, to start getting honest with other people, and to integrate myself so that I was congruent. And I think that a lot of people do complicate their lives by living their lives in compartments, that a lot of folks are not really in touch with who they are. And I think in order to simplify your life, you really have to ask yourself some certain questions. And, you know, you could start with, who am I, as an example. So those are just a few thoughts that occurred to me as we were talking.
Mm. And that goes back to what you said earlier about first principles. And first principles, for those who don't know, are the basics. It's like when you're in grade one. You learn the basics of reading and writing. You learn the basics of mathematics and science. All the basics that you need to then build on as you grow more in your education. But I've got a little story, if that's okay, about first principles and choosing to keep it simple.
Sure.
My grandfather was the president of the Northern British Isles. I don't know the exact name of it off the top of my head, but the Electrical Engineering Association of the British Isles, Northern Chapter. So he was the president of that, and I happened to be the leading electrical engineer association of Europe in World War II. So he was the president of that. And when they captured one of the German submarines, nobody could decipher the technology in the submarine. The English couldn't, the Yanks couldn't, and there were a few other allies, I think, that had a go. And it was given to my grandfather to have a chop at it. And he looked at what all the other guys had done, and he saw that they were overcomplicating this engineering. So he went back to first principles, and he built up his understanding. What have you done that's basic here that everybody does? Because, of course, we know Germans, they're fantastic engineers. And we, you know, they were ahead of the game in their engineering and in their coding and everything else. So my grandfather went back to first principles, and from that place of simplicity, he then built his education about the German technology, and he cracked it. And they were then able to start to capture these German subs and other warships and utilize the technology that they had. So, yeah, that was a game changer for World War II, and a little bit proud of my grandfather for that.
I don't blame you. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's great. Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, so that's the power of keeping it simple. That's the power of going back to first principles, and that's why we need to learn the basics. You know, some people will run in, they'll go, oh, I want to learn this thing, give me the answers now. And they'll get bored because the first two classes are all about first principles. Oh, yeah, yeah, come on, hurry up, tell me what I want to know. Well, what you need to know is not going to make any sense if you haven't got that foundation. You've got to keep it simple and build on it. And, you know, that's very, very important, especially when you're in business. There's a lot of people who run into business, you know, they get a dream. They say, we're going to do this. You know, we're going to open this clothing store, or we're going to provide this service, but they don't have any education in running a business. They go to the complicated part first. They go to renting the premises, opening the doors, getting all the money in, getting into debt. And then, oh, shit, how do I actually run a business? So you've got to get into those first principles, the basics, keeping it simple first and building on it. And then as you go, because you kept it simple from the start, it continues to keep simple because you've got more education, which just sort of streamlines. And what we're really talking about is path of least resistance. So it, as it streamlines, it goes, as water will always find the easiest path, water will build and build and build and build into a lake, into a river, into an ocean. It's just still simple. It's still hydrogen plus two oxygen. And it will build and build and build and build. If you just get a bunch of water and just stick it straight into somewhere, you'll cause a massive destruction. But if you slowly build that water, it will slowly build that canyon and slowly build its pathway to the sea, and that's what we need to remember to do with our the things that we want to do. And so eventually you'll be in a place that to somebody else looks very complex, but to you it's quite simple because you know all those principles that you've learned in the past.
I like that example of the canyon. That's beautiful. That's a nice metaphor for keeping it simple and for focusing on purpose, whatever that is. And next week, by the way, we're going to be talking about the ultimate purpose. Isn't that right, Kat?
Yeah, okay.
No, I wrote it down. Let me see. Let me go there while I'm thinking of it. Oh, my.
Well,
that could be part of it. It's the ultimate question. So that can be whatever that is for you folks. But that's the topic for next week. And I should know because I just logged the show a little while ago. We do have a few more callers on the line. Shall we go and see if they have anything they'd like to share?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to Eleanor first. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi, how everyone? How are you?
Hi there. Good, good. How are you, honey?
Good. Simplicity is something that I can't help having because I'm poor. And I could make it simpler by casting off certain things from my life to make room for wealth. I have an enormous collection of books and a popular collection of paper, and I need to get that under control. But I seem to have a kind of sense that these things are my friends, and they're not my friends. It's like giving up cigarettes. I used to smoke about 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, and I felt better. I learned to keep company with myself in the evening without my 20 friends. Vulnerability is something that I don't need to have too much of. I'm a very strong person. I love people, and they have a sense to love me, and it's one of the things that I view that's positive about my life. I had to move through serious judgment from my family, and that put me in a position that I wouldn't tolerate it from my family or from other people. I may be in a place where I have to change, and that would make me vulnerable. I mean, I'm sitting around contemplating being in local entertainment so that I will have some place to go beside a nursing home. And I never did that before. It was always singing in jails and prisons. But that might not be possible for a while. I saw two words that I use now, and it's parentheses, adolescence. Post. My adolescence is over. That was very exciting, but it's over. And I think I can accept that. It was a long time ago. Everybody told me I would be somebody. And I've had all the support in the world. But I need to concentrate on the future and how good that will be when I finally accept it. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Eleanor. I'm glad that you used the word acceptance. I think that for me, it's very important for me to be able to accept myself and accept others where they're at and with what they bring to the table. And when I can do that, then I'm not complicating myself as much as I do when I'm in a place of unacceptance. And so I just appreciate you bringing that up. And, you know, I wish you all the best, Eleanor. You have a beautiful, simple outlook on life. And I think that that's another thing that I was referring to earlier in the show, that when we can simplify our desires and focus on them, that in and of itself can help us simplify our lives.
Yeah.
Eleanor? Yeah? Did you want to say something else?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, well, thank you so much, hon. I'm going to go to area code 210. I'm not sure who's on the line, so could you just tell me your first name, please?
This is Pearl from Texas.
Hi, Pearl. How are you, Pearl? It's nice to hear you.
Thank you. It's good to hear you, too. Is Kat still there?
She is, yes.
I'm here.
Yes.
How are you going?
Hello. I haven't talked to you in forever, both of you, so I think it's been about a year or so.
Yeah,
yes.
It has been a long time. Yes, yes.
So I was thinking about your subject tonight, and I thought to myself, you know, in Kat, in your situation, I could hear some sadness in your tone that you really wanted to help these people, but they didn't want help. It reminded me of, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I think that we all get clouded down with issues in life and with things that kind of bog us down, and we try to escape them and to move on with our lives by either buying more things or just kind of ignoring the problem and moving forward. But I learned a long time ago that, you know, denial is really an ugly friend. So once I looked at it that way, somebody shared that with me, and so once I looked at that as denial is something that was palpable, I was able to understand on a deeper level that I, even though I call myself transparent and a realist, that sometimes I even do that. And go into denial in order not to deal with a situation or deal with a problem. So, and I think we all have a tendency to be blocked by things that we need to do, and we transfer that to things that we want to do, not should do. So, but once we get around those, it's like overcoming a mountain, and we all feel free.
Yeah, that's exactly right, isn't it?
And that's a very eloquently put, Pearl. I don't really have anything to add to that. I think that that's absolutely perfect, what you've just said. And being in denial is an ugly friend. I did really want to help those two people, and what I ended up finding was that I was the one saying, hey, you need help. And then when I no longer could help them anymore because I had other priorities, I began to be the person that they disliked the most. So they actually put it on me. They put a lot of their issues back on me, and I wasn't going to stand for that because I could see how long the cancer had been rotting away in their lives. So people will stay in denial and continue to further complicate their lives until they get to such a point that they cannot continue without having some sort of major intervention. And at that time, they will, if they're not conscious, they're not conscious living people, they will turn around and, you know, attack the one that's been trying to help. So it's a bit harsh, but it is what it is.
It's very hard, especially when you care about them. I mean, I've even been in situations like that in my life where I've actively seen the problem, saw where it was going, but chose actively to make a decision to go this direction or that direction, knowing that it wasn't the best direction. Sometimes it's a compromise. But when you can see where they're going and you hurt for them and they won't do anything, it's, you kind of just want to yell at them, listen to me, but you can't. So.
No, you've I've had a bit of an interesting path, and so during the time that these things were happening to those other people, I had my own issues to deal with. So the answer was, hey, go. Deal, you know, go see these people for some financial counseling. You need to stop and think what you're doing right now. You know, things like that that was said to them. And, yeah, each person just continued on a pathway to oblivion. So that's unfortunate, but people have to learn. Some people have to learn the hard way. When you want to keep it simple, it can be very hard to help other people when your life has become complicated for whatever reason. And at, during the time, and we're talking two decades ago, when my life was pretty complex with having become a single parent, having to deal with autistic son, having to deal with a son whose emotional problems caused him ADHD, all the pressure from community, because people say that they're progressive in the care and all of that, but the people who are supposed to actually do that are often the ones who are quite judgmental and rude, and I experienced all sorts of rejection from the community, in particular the people who were supposed to help. And I had a lot of hardship that I had to cope with, and I deliberately kept my life as simple as possible. And one of the things I did was I chose to be celibate because I didn't want to continue to have relationships that would, you know, not necessarily work out. If I didn't know myself enough. So why would I let somebody in who could complicate my life further when I already had a basket of mess that I had to try and unravel to keep as simple as possible and stay with and have a level head all the time, which didn't always happen. So when you've got other people in your life whose lives are, you know, blowing out, and you're trying to keep it together, you certainly can't be trying to run their life as well. All you can do is go, hey, I can see things aren't so good. Try and do this, try and do that. But you're not responsible for other people's happiness either. Not responsible for them. So, yeah. Anyway, that was then and this is now.
Well, I think there's a lot to learn from the past, moving forward. That becomes our wisdom in our lives.
Boy, is that
yeah, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Well, thanks for calling in, Pearl. It was lovely to hear from you.
Good to hear your voice,
thanks,
too.
Pearl.
Thank you, David.
All right.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Thank you so much. All right. We have one more caller. Let's see if Patricia would like to share tonight. Hello, Patricia.
Hi. Good evening, David and Kat. And just listening to you both. And Kat, I respect your honesty and your sharing of your strength and courage and experience in life. It's interesting for me in aging, in keeping it simple. Aging has become a tool in my toolbox, along with spiritual practices and other practices that I am involved with. It's interesting that I have chosen, perhaps not explicitly or consciously, but I have chosen nevertheless to be single. And I've often thought, as I've grown to know myself, that I'm enough all by myself, and not so much bringing someone else into my life, and as an extrovert and an empath and an intuitive spiritual person, I sometimes question if I made the right choice. And accepting that now is now, and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I also resonated with, you know, on my path, there's this notion of being popular and having many, many friends, and young people at some point, even myself, questioning, why don't I have more friends? And being the introspective and I don't know what else, all kinds of words and names that I could call myself or have been called, that this striving for success in our society and who you're supposed to be and who one is not. And the last few years, I've been into this non-resistance, and I've heard of that word for so many, many years in my youth. But I was an impatient girl, and I've been learning about non-resistance, and it simplifies. It has helped me simplify my life and to bring about less angst and more peace. And it is acceptance, David. And I am just, I live alone, and I enjoy living alone, but I do enjoy other people. And I'm introvert, but I love people and had a long career working and helping people. And it's just interesting to have a small group of friends that I really can consider to be friends, and maybe not be the most popular girl on the block or at the dance, but just to be. And thanks for this time
to
fill up
this
space this evening with some wisdom. Thank you, guys.
Well, we had some very nice shares there, Kat, didn't we?
I like that talking about non-resistance that Patricia was discussing there. You know, that's so important when you're trying to keep your life simple, that you don't resist the change and you don't resist that urge to deal with it. And even though it might be difficult to deal with whatever is making things harder, there's still part of you that's pulling towards dealing with it, and so that you can come back to keeping things simple. And it's so important to do that.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And it just makes life a lot easier. Or not that life is easy, but it makes it simpler, for lack of a better word, since we're talking about keeping it simple. I just know that when I complicate my life with things, with thoughts that do not lead in a direction towards obtaining my goals for myself, for those I love, that I drive myself crazy. And so let's just take a moment to go into a meditative state and consider the following. First, I'd ask you to close your eyes if you're comfortable. If not, to focus on some spot in the room, spot that makes you feel comfortable. Start to breathe slowly and deeply. Breathe in slowly. Breathe out. Breathe in deeply. Breathe out. Do that a couple more times until you feel totally relaxed. Now consider yourself be a seed. Consider yourself to be a seed for a magnificent flower. Whatever flower you're most drawn to, that is the seed that you are. So you're planted in rich, nourishing soil. The rain and water washes over you, bathes you, soothes you, nurtures you, and encourages you to grow. Send out a shoot. You begin to reach toward the soil, toward the sun. You do what is the most simple thing to do, and that is to simply grow. And you emerge from the soil as you begin to continue in your upward growth, shooting out the greenery from which will spring you the beautiful flower. So the blossoms begin to form. You begin to emerge. You emerge from the essence of the being that you were meant to be. And so you bloom. Beautiful, beautiful flower. You relish in the sun. You soak in its rays. you think to yourself how marvelous it is to be alive. Do you know that flowers think too? Do you know that they have a consciousness? So you merge yourself with that simple consciousness, that consciousness that you are all that you need to be, that you don't need anything other than the basic element. And those things that you, as a person, have come to embrace as those things that nurture you, that give you a sense of well-being, that make you feel like you are here for a reason, that you belong, that you are loved, that you are meant to be here, that you have a purpose. And that purpose is simply to be. No strings attached. No need to feather yourself down with unnecessary concerns, with unnecessary activities, or unnecessary things. You simply are a beautiful flower. But that is a metaphor. I leave that with you. When you are ready, come back into the space and time. Continue to breathe. Open your eyes when you're ready and explain how beautiful it is to be me, how beautiful it is to simply be me. So I thank you all for joining us tonight, and we do have a Facebook page. Kat, would you like to tell people about that?
Yes, please join us on Facebook at The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. We love to hear from you. You can post your comments in the thread of their show. You can ring in, obviously, as people have been doing during the show. And if you want to continue to discuss the show, just continue to talk about it in the thread of the show that's been posted on the page. And also, we really love to hear from you and what you'd like us to talk about on the show and any feedback you've got about the show. We always want to improve, and so we'd love to hear from you and what you want to say. So make sure that you connect with us on The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards on Facebook during the week and let us know.
Thanks, Kat. And thank you for another wonderful show. I really appreciate your help. You're a wonderful co-host.
Well, thank you, David, and thank you to you for running the show and for everybody who's called in and everybody who listens. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and good night to Eleanor Pearl and Patricia. We've appreciated your sharing. Excuse me. And so with that said, I'm going to wish you all a good day. And God bless.
Goodbye.